You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Around the world, migrants are deprived of the right to be free to move and to settle as they wish. December 18th is a day of global action against racism and for the rights of migrants, refugees, and displaced people, an action that came out of the World Social Forum in Dakar this year. The UN Convention on the Protection of the Rights of All Migrant Workers and Members of Their Families was established in 1990. Canada has yet to sign on to it. Ariana Paz is an activist with Justicia for Migrant Workers, BC. She's also a student at UBC doing research on the working and living conditions for migrant workers. She's recently traveled to Arizona and Mexico to do field work, and she's just returned home to BC, and she joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Adriana.
Good morning, Jane.
Now, how did you first get interested in the issue of migrant workers?
8 years ago, when I moved from Bolivia to Canada, many immigrants, I didn't have their language skills, didn't speak English at that time. So my first job was in a tomato greenhouse in Delta, in Ladner. So when I went there, I was exposed to a reality that I think it's a hidden reality for many people and for mainstream Canadian society. I saw that most of the pickers, the workers, were workers from South Asia, from an Indian background, and Filipinos. And very, very soon after, like a month after, that greenhouse was the first one in the province to bring Mexican workers under the one of the oldest guest workers programs in Canada that is called the Seasonal Agricultural Workers Program. So being there and being working with these workers and trying to make sense of how things are done, how it's what was actually going on. It's been witnessing, right? Sometimes abuses, sometimes things that you will never see that's happening. But also witnessing how workers are trying to fight for their rights, to struggle within the very, very limited abilities that they have to really try to exercise their rights, the few ones that they have. So these examples and these realities were that prompted me to get involved with the workers. And first, it wasn't in a capacity of an activist. It was just like, I don't know, it happened that I was there. And I think when you see firsthand how our food is grown, there is no way that you don't take a position.
Now, migrant agricultural workers in BC stay here for a period of time to work on farms, but I understand that some migrant workers cross the border every day between Mexico and the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That happens in the U.S.-Mexico border, and I think it's quite unique because they are precisely in the border, right? It's not the case with workers, for example, in other states like Alabama or California. But in Arizona, since the border is right there, they cross the border every day, and it is a very very hard life. Not only hard work, but very hard life because they have to wake up at midnight in order to be in the line in the border at 1. Usually the lineups take about 3-4 hours, sometimes 5 hours, because there is many, many people crossing the border every day. In order to be on the other side, in the U.S. side, at the pickup side where the employer is going to pick them to go to work, they have to be at 4 or 5 in the morning. And then at this time of the year, the fields are frozen or wet, so they have to wait until 10, 11 in the morning to start working. And so imagine you have wake up at midnight and then you start working at noon or 11 in the morning. I don't think anybody of us does that. Like maybe wake up 2 hours before work, but no more. So, and then the supervisors expect them to be like strong and ready and fresh and start picking, right? And then they finish work and they have to do the same at night, cross the line again, going back home and to repeat the same thing all over again the next day. And this goes for months. And there are a lot of difficulties for them when crossing the line. Sometimes immigration officers are abusive, and they ask them to go through like a full check and review, even though they see these workers crossing every day and they have the status of non-immigrants or guest workers, but there is simply like not consideration at all with these people.
And what are the conditions of work like when they are working?
The conditions are, well, agriculture, it's deemed like the three Ds. It's dirty, it's dangerous, and it's difficult. It is one of the fourth most dangerous occupations in North America. That means here, too. So in this case, the workers that I was with, they picked lettuce. So it's being on your knees for 10, 12 hours a day, and you have to go very, very quickly. And that means that, for example, because they also get paid by piece rate, so you really have to work very fast in order to deliver the product and then to get paid that. But, for example, what happens if you need to go to the bathroom, all right? I mean, you have to run, or many people simply they try to not go to the bathroom because then you are not going to pick as much lettuce as you have to. And the bathroom situations, like health and safety situations in the field, are very bad. There is no reinforcement of labor protections. And, for example, there are minimal protections when about weather conditions, but workers have to expect to work no matter how the weather is outside. So people are saying that after a while they don't even feel their hands, they cannot feel their hands, they cannot feel their knees, and the back, and they are constantly pressured to perform at maximum all the time, because this is what is going to determine and define if these workers are going to be called back again the next year. So not only like you don't have labor protections and minimal rights to, for example, bargain the kind of conditions and bargain your wages, because as non-immigrants, as guest workers, they don't have that collective bargaining power, but also they have to perform at maximum in order to be able to get a job for next year. So it is, they are at the mercy of the supervisors most of the time, and being performing as harder and as faster as possible for sometimes less than minimum wage, and with conditions that are very much belonging from past century.
What is the situation like for undocumented workers?
The conditions are, well, the conditions on the field are hard for all the workers. And in that sense, it is the same exploitative and abusive conditions, no enforcement of the law, no labor protection. But I think for undocumented workers, it is kind of complicated. In one sense, for them, they are less protected. For example, there is a lot of self-wage, so supervisors at the end of the day don't pay them because they know that they cannot make any claim. But in other sense, undocumented workers, they were saying that they are more free, quote-unquote more free than the guest workers, because if the conditions in the farm are bad, they can always not come back the next day and try to find a job in another farm. So they have the labor mobility that guest workers don't, because guest workers, they have the contract, and if they are bound to one single employer, to one single farm, to one single sector, so if the conditions are bad, there is nothing that they can do, right? Because the contract establishes that they have to work. Otherwise, they cannot coming into the country. So their ability to stay in country very much depends on their ability to work, right? And that is up to the employers. So in that sense, undocumented workers have more freedom, right, to change. Obviously, they are less protective in many other ways that guest workers have protections, in the sense that they have to get paid, and there are some ways of claiming, for example, if they didn't get paid. But also, this is complicated and tricky because even though guest workers, they have these protections, for example, to complain if they didn't get paid, most of them, they prefer to not complain at all because the next year they might not be called back, so they are blacklisted. And, so those are, in general, the differences between undocumented workers and guest workers. It's not really much difference. It's the labor mobility.
Now, you were down in the United States doing research and talking to people in that area of the border, and you are intimately familiar with the situation for Canadian farm workers working here under the Seasonal Agricultural Workers Program. What are your thoughts about how the Canadian system treats workers compared to what you experienced in the southern U.S.?
Unfortunately, not very different. These two guest workers programs, the U.S. and the Canadian version, are very similar, and one has been modeled after the other. And I think this is a global trend. This is also going on, the same thing going on in Europe and in other northern countries, are very similar. For example, both programs in the U.S. and in Canada, they have been meant to address and to meet a labor shortage, a local labor shortage. However, this labor shortage is very arguable, very, very debatable. And many people say that the labor shortage, it is indeed created by the growers, because the conditions are bad. If you are a farm worker, you don't have, in the U.S. and in Canada, you don't have statutory holidays, over time, you don't have vacation paid, and you don't have labor protections under the Employment Standards Act. So if you have other option other than being working in an occupation that is dirty, dangerous, and difficult, and you will find job in another place if you can, if you have the English skills to work in a better place. So bad wages, bad working conditions, and with no respect and dignity, obviously there is no much local population available to be exploited. And so these programs have been meant to address this local labor shortage, but bringing workers as a cheap and indentured labor. And to basically keep labor very at minimal, and not giving them the same rights and the same protections than local workers have. Although, if you go to the website of the U.S. Department of Labor or the Canadian Immigration and Citizenship, where they advertise the programs, it says that these workers have enjoyed the same freedoms and protections than the Canadian ones. Nothing can be further from the truth. The daily reality for both workers under the H-2A in the U.S. and under the STOAP here, the reality of these workers is that they constantly live and work under fear of being repatriated, and in a constant fear of being banned from the program for the next season. So there is they have to perform as hard as possible in order to retain the job and their ability to stay in the country. When I say that they are under fear of being repatriated, is that even though the state or the government are the only ones that have, for example, the authority to repatriate a person, to send the person back home, in reality, these workers are at the mercy of their employers in both cases, in the Canadian and the U.S. examples. And, for example, if the contract establishes that a worker can be fired with a just cause. Now, this just cause, in brackets, it is really... it depends on the employer. I've seen here in BC in Canada and there in the U.S. that, for example, there are workers that when they get sick, or injure, the easiest solution for the employer or for the supervisor is to send them back home, because the rationale is that, okay, so if you are not able to work, and then you should be go home.
Thank you so much, Adriana, for taking our call this morning.
Thank you to you, Jane.
I've been speaking with Adriana Paz. She's with Justicia for Migrant Workers BC. If you'd like to find out more about the issue, you can go to justiciaformigrantworkers.org. And if you'd like to attend a community dinner in honor of the Day of Global Action Against Racism, then you can go to 1803 East First on Monday, the 19th of December. It's from 6 until 8 p.m.